Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Friday. Thanks for being with us. Bill Goodykoontz, Goody at the Movies, is going to be with us. And we're going to talk about Spotlight. I'm hearing Spotlight is terrific. Just an absolutely great film to watch this weekend. We will go to Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro, the wisest of the wise guys, 40-year odds maker in Vegas, all the college, all the pro games, of course, including the Cardinals. You guys want to put your bets down. It's that and fantasy football are what is driving the NFL. It's not this is my favorite team anymore. It is fantasy football and betting. That's that. So we'll go to Vegas, and Jimmy Vaccaro will be with us here in about 30 minutes. This is a weekend where I really believe the football season is getting started for the Arizona Cardinals. It's almost as though, I'm not going to take away what Pittsburgh and St. Louis did to them, but it's almost like what we have seen the first half of the season is just glorified exhibition games. I'm one of those that believes that the NFL, because the season is so long and it is a war of attrition, that there are certain players that are put out there in harm's way, obviously, every week. There are certain players, though, that you kind of keep on the back burner for the second half of the season. I'll give you an example. I think Andre Ellington, now that he's healthy, coming off the bye week, has not had a whole lot of work this year. And Chris Johnson has. But you've got to have some players at key positions late in the season. And we saw that last year when Carson Palmer went down, season was done. Season was over. The Cardinals have not faced a ferocious defense, in my opinion, outside of the St. Louis Rams. Steelers are good, but I wouldn't call them ferocious. As you look at Seattle on Sunday night, it's a really good defense. Are they as good as they once were? I don't think so, but I don't watch them every week. All the guests we've had on this week, Warren Moon and Brock Huard and Heath Evans from the NFL Network, and all of them have said Seattle's not the team that they once were. So you can build them up if you're here in Arizona. I mean, that's what you hear, these little 12-second sound bites, and that's not reality, in my opinion. I saw Calais Campbell last night out at an event over at Marley's, and the feeling I believe is, that's a beatable club. And what else is he going to say? But I think privately even, it's a very beatable team, and it's not what it once was. There's some very good parts on it. And I'm not going to sit here and get too low if the Cardinals lose. I am not expecting them to win the game. Either is Vegas. They are underdogs. It's going to be in the mid-40s, and it's a 90% chance of rain. Okay, I don't know how Carson Palmer is going to perform in the rain. I have not seen Carson Palmer against the Seattle Seahawks in over a year and a half. So there's a lot of unknowns if I'm the Cardinals. It would not surprise me if they got their doors blown off. I would be surprised if they blew out Seattle. It would not surprise me if the game got away from them. I've seen good teams go up there, and the games have gotten away from them. I've seen some teams that I don't think Carolina is great, but they went up there this year. And they were able to play well. So if you put it all together, it's to me, if Russell Wilson scampers around and Russell Wilson gets 50, 60 yards rushing, even 40 yards rushing, then the Cardinals are going to be in trouble in this game. I don't know if the secondary of the Seahawks can hang with the Cardinals' wide receivers, but then again, is weather going to be a factor? Because it sounds like it clearly is going to be. And no matter what happens on Sunday night, the Cardinals are still in first place in the NFC West. So you don't sit here and get too high or too low off of this stuff. And then you turn right back around. You have to do it a week later against Cincinnati. So I'm not going to overstate the importance of this game. Yeah, going to Seattle is going to be tough. And if they win, it's fine. If they lose, how do you lose? How do you even go about winning the game? That's how I look at it every week. I don't sit here and root and put pom-poms on. I don't think they're going to win. I don't. I hope I'm wrong. Hope I sit here Monday and I'm wrong. But that's just how I see it. Last night, I watched some of the Jets and Bills. And those of you that watch this show for a while know that I'm not a Rex Ryan guy, and it's just a dog and pony show. And that the shtick side of it, if you're not able to win games, which he hasn't been able to do with any regularity, and that's why he got blown out at the Jets, and there were poor personnel decisions there too. But I watched last night, and you got to give him credit. You have to give him credit. Buffalo played well enough to win the game, and they made some turnovers. And Todd Bowles' team did not. So I watched some of that last night. I tried to hang with the Suns game late. I was on the Coyotes game, and the Coyotes end up having a really good win. Like, the Coyotes have had 2 3-game winning streaks. And I still believe in this town, while the 2001 World Series of the Diamondbacks was terrific and amazing and awesome, and I was blessed enough to be the guy that was on to talk to many of you before and after those games through the years. It was great to be a part of that from day number one. But I also was around the LA Kings when they had Gretzky and when they won a Stanley Cup. And yeah, it's been a long time. But we know that here in Arizona that we support teams that win and win big. And if the Coyotes were, I'm not suggesting here in November that they're going to go win the Stanley Cup. Okay, I'm not suggesting that. Would have liked to see Connor McDavid, did not. But what I am saying to you is this team is playing well enough to actually get some attention and gain a little bit of momentum with a fan base that has been jilted and has just been chewed up and spit out. It's nice to have things to talk about on the ice with a couple of young players because they have tried forever and ever and ever to find other faces alongside of Shane Doan. They have tried forever and it hasn't worked out. And so, you know, the young players that are out there now that are getting it done, Ty Domi moves the needle. Some of these young players move the needle. And they win again last night. They win impressively. They win going away. So another 3-game win streak for them. It's been a really good week. You win on the road at Anaheim and the Kings, and then you come back home and you blow Edmonton out of off the ice. It's a good week. It's a very good week for them. And that takes me over to the Suns. So I did watch some of the Suns last night. I didn't stick with the whole game. Once Blake Griffin got thrown out, in my mind, okay, the Suns are going to win this game. When you don't have Chris Paul and you don't have J.J. Redick, the two starting guards for the Clippers last night, you already are in a very, very good situation if you're the Suns. I think the Suns' backcourt is good. I think it's actually better than average. And last night, Brandon Knight had tied a career high. Bledsoe played well from what I saw until I said, enough, I'm done, I got to get to bed. The game started at 8:52, by the way. And if you're thinking, man, you sound old, well, knock me out then for sounding that way. The game didn't end until after 11 last night. I mean, come on. It's the NBA here. You're asking people on a Thursday night, and they held it because of TNT. So I saw Blake Griffin get ejected, and Blake couldn't get out of there quick enough. They played the night before in Dallas. The Clippers are going to be in the playoffs. This is a game in November of let's just go out and try to entertain the masses. I got thrown out, so what? I'm out of here. Find me all you want. So the Clippers didn't have 3 of their starters last night. So the bottom line is the Suns should have won the game. And they didn't have their 2 starting guards, so the guards for the Suns should have looked good. I am not surprised that Brandon Knight scored 37 and Eric Bledsoe almost had a triple-double. The Clippers didn't have Chris Paul on the floor at all for any of the game. And it goes back to, well, you really aren't giving the Suns a whole lot of credit. No, I'm not. They beat Sacramento without DeMarcus Cousins. They beat the Clippers without 3 of their best players on the floor in the entire second half of the game. So come on. Are you hearing yourself? Doesn't mean I don't want them to see well, though, to play well, rather. My guy Markieff wasn't out on the floor last night. Not having Keith out there actually was pleasant for me to watch the Suns a little bit longer. I'd be very pleased if there was a ticket out of town for him. So the Suns host Denver tomorrow night. And Denver, I don't think, is very good this year. That should be a game they win. I watched some of Golden State. You're probably thinking, is all you did last night watch sports? Yeah, pretty much. Just kind of told the family. I mean, they're trying to get me into Grey's Anatomy. Like, come on, get me out of here. So I went into my office and I watched the Warriors for the second half. It was a great game. Steph Curry is like watching Michael Jordan. That's not me. That's Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett said after last night's game, he compared Steph Curry to Michael Jordan. Curry had 46 last night, and the Timberwolves are fun to watch. Like, they figured it out. They stink year in and year out, and they start drafting players or making trades for players that are interesting. They're fun to watch at Minnesota. I kind of wish that model had worked here in Phoenix rather than just seeing a team that's kind of meh. But watching the Timberwolves is far more interesting to me. And the Warriors are just, they're just awesome to watch them play basketball. There's so many different movements, and Curry is so good. He's got a little bit of Magic Johnson. He's got enough of Michael Jordan. He's got an outside shot that is Ray Allen-esque to me. He has unbelievable court awareness, and he's playing in Golden State, and they're 10-0, a perfect 10-0 for the Warriors. So I watched some of them last night. This story caught my eye, too. And we've got Goody at the Movies coming up here in a couple of minutes. But Jimmy Butler from the Chicago Bulls. So Jimmy Butler is an all-star player. He's been really good with the Bulls. There's some conversation that he is going to be the face of the Bulls franchise rather than Derrick Rose, and that Derrick may be heading out of town with the Bulls. So Jimmy Butler is starting to come into his own to the point where he's showing up on TV shows that have nothing at all to do with basketball. He's also come into some money, obviously, because he's an NBA player. So I saw this from an upcoming episode of Animal Planet show called Tanked. Jared Nielsen, Eric's out today. So Jared, you've seen that show, and he nods his head. So it's this show on Animal Planet where they just do aquariums and they do things around fish, right? So when I heard that Jimmy Butler was coming up and I started to check this out, it was online. I thought, this, we got to put this in the show. So after yesterday's practice, Jimmy Butler started talking about his new 6,000-pound aquarium in his house. Of course, we put a 6,000-pound aquarium in our house every day. We all do this, right? But only Jimmy Butler can put a 6,000-pound aquarium in his house in the shape of a boombox. A boombox. There it is. Of course. Hey, I want to get an aquarium, and this would be really cool. There's my boombox aquarium when you walk into the house. It makes perfect sense to me. It looks kind of like a washer and dryer, right? Or two dryers lined up next to one another. But why not have an aquarium in the shape of a boombox? We can make it in the shape of a heart. We can make it in the shape of a continent. We can make it into the shape of anything we want, because you want an aquarium for the show here on Animal Planet. No, I think having it in the shape of a boombox makes perfect sense to me. So when people walk in, they're going to say, dang, that is one big boombox. Well, no, actually, it's an aquarium. Love that story. Good at the Movies is next. We continue on. Sports360AZ.com. I'll have much more on the Cardinals in about 10 minutes with Jimmy Vaccaro in Vegas. And ASU, U of A. I'm even going to work NAU on the show in a little bit. We join you Monday through Friday for a couple of hours here on Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Things that I see going around the state of Arizona. We also have a television show on Fox Sports Arizona. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights at 6, 10, 1, and 7 a.m. It's great to be with you. Thanks.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and last week when we had Goody on, Bill said that next week was going to be an amazing week of movies. So I know that Spotlight is one of those movies, and I heard great things about Brooklyn. So with the tease, it's time for Goody at the Movies. So this is a weekend while the Cardinals play Sunday night. You're saying you've just got to get out this weekend and see these two movies, or are there more than that?
There's more than that, actually. these are really good movies. Spotlight is a great movie. It's the best movie of the year. It's the best newspaper journalism movie since probably All the President's Men. It's fabulous.
Is it something, Bill? Sad. Bill, is it something where you and I would really like it because we're in the industry, but the average person would say, "Eh, I don't get it." Or is it mass appeal?
I think it's mass appeal. I mean, for one thing, the cast is so good, and there are people you know doing great stuff. Michael Keaton is better in this than he was in Birdman.
Really? Wow.
And the story, I mean, it's recent enough that the story is still pretty well known. It's about the Boston Globe's coverage of Catholic priests' abuse and it being covered up, and the church just moving priests around and stuff. So, and you know, in some ways, I felt sad because I'm going to rip off James Carville here. Once I heard James Carville in 2008 when LSU football was not playing well, this was going to, I heard him on a talk show say, he said, I've had two pillars in my life, the Catholic Church and LSU football, and they both let me down.
Wow.
He says, in this movie, the thing that made me a little sad is that you wonder what do you want to call it, legacy media company, what newspaper would now commit the time and the resources to this, because it took months and months. They won a Pulitzer Prize. They changed things. They did great, great work. But you wonder now, and I think I said this in my review, if you came to an editor with this information now, if they wouldn't just say, oh, well, how about a slideshow on the 10 biggest scandals, or the 10 biggest priest scandals or something.
Yeah, yeah. Five key things, right? Here's five things that I take away, right?
You won't believe number three.
Right, right.
I talked to the director. I talked to a lot of people this week, but I talked to the director, and and I can read it to you if you want me to, but it's on my Facebook page. I posted it by itself. It's the best sort of takedown of what's happening in journalism that I've heard in a long time, and it was just off the top of his head. It's Tom McCarthy. He does a lot of really good movies. But the thing here is that what they do in All the President's Men, which is investigative reporting is a lot of grunt work. It's a lot of knocking on doors. It's a lot of going through literature and pamphlets and just, you know, kind of grunt work. And they make it exciting, and they make it thrilling. Even though you know how it turns out, you're kind of on the edge of your seat. And, I just can't say enough. I wish that everybody would see this movie.
Is this Best Picture category?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I would guess Front Runner. It's terrific, and it's important, and it's, and you know, the Academy likes the important ones too, you know, so there's that kind of thing. And I'm sure that, as always happens with Oscars and that sort of thing, there will be backlash, and there'll be people say, well, it's not that good, or that, you know, or maybe there'll be that criticism that maybe it's just for a select audience, maybe it's not for mainstream audiences. I would say to that, I would say, go see it, and then come back and tell me you didn't love this movie.
Well, what's interesting is you brought up Michael Keaton, and you just said there's a great cast, and we're, what, 4 or 5 minutes into the segment now, and you didn't mention Mark Ruffalo or Liev Schreiber, which tells me an awful lot that
they're terrific.
Yeah. Tells me an awful lot that the depth of this movie and the actors themselves don't stand out as much as the characters stand out.
Like, Liev Schreiber's not in it a whole lot, but he makes a huge impression. He's the main editor who comes to the Boston Globe, and they think to basically cut staff. And he did some of that. And Michael Keaton's the editor of what's called the Spotlight Team, and they do investigative stories. And I actually almost physically cringed at this part of the movie where, you know, he's meeting with Liev Schreiber, and he says, and Schreiber says, what do you do? And he says, well, I run the Spotlight Team. We take months sometimes to choose a story, and then we'll take months, even years after that, to write the story. Mm. And I was sitting there telling him, like, don't say that. Give him something else. You're just killing yourself. You're just asking to have your whole staff cut. You know?
We need clicks tomorrow. We need clicks tonight. We don't care about a week from now. We have to hit a number. You know, it doesn't matter if it's any good or not, if it's crap that we're going to put out. We just got to get clicks.
Well, but what was kind of good about this, though, was that it wasn't like all pie in the sky, because when he sits down, he says, you know, the word is you're probably going to cut staff. Is that going to happen? And the guy says, I can't say that right now, but I would imagine so. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's not what I'm here to talk to you about today.
You know? So go see it.
It's terrific. I really wish everybody could see this movie.
All right. Let's go over to Brooklyn now. And I've heard that this is a very whimsical, feel-good, tough, teary-eyed, all those emotions wrapped into one.
It is, and it's got probably, I would bet, I guarantee you, the Best Actress nominee and possibly the winner in Saoirse Ronan. I think that's how you say her name. It's S-A-O-I-R-S-E, but I think it's pronounced Saoirse. And she's very Irish. She was born in New York, actually, but she moved to Ireland when she was three. And I talked to her for this. I talked to her two or three times. And it's one of those things where her she's like 21 now or something like that. But she got an Oscar nomination actually when she was 13 for the movie Atonement. but this is her movie. I mean, she moves from Ireland to the United States in the 1950s at a time when a lot of young women are doing that, and they live in a boarding house in Brooklyn, and she gets really homesick, and she finds a guy, and then she has to go back to Ireland, and she has to decide what to do. And it sounds like just this classic sort of melodrama, but she is so good that it just it outweighs any cliche that might be there. And there's not really a cliche. I mean, it's just it's done really well, and she's terrific. And you could, when you interview her, you could just listen to her talk all day, you know, because she's got that like, that Irish accent, you know, and it's just like.
Best picture again? Is this that good?
Maybe. I don't know. Depends on how many they do this year. It's certainly not like on the importance of guaranteed best actress nomination. Don't know about best picture.
If I have to say, hey, Chris, my wife, we're going out tonight to see a movie, because for some reason she swears by you and she watches this segment. And then she socials it out to her friends, and she will say to people, well, Bill told Brad, or Goody said this. That's just how she is. Okay.
Well, she can do better. I would say, I mean, you got to make room for both of them. I think that Spotlight is less likely to be around as long because I think that Brooklyn may be, it's certainly the date movie of the year. I mean, it's like, you know, it's, and the thing, one of the things I like about it, you know, you never go into these things in a vacuum, but I went in there not expecting much. And, it, you know, I didn't know whether it was going to happen. And, you know, about halfway through, I thought, wow, this is really good. And by the end, I just thought, she is fantastic.
Do you cry on this one?
No, I didn't cry. I mean,
do you get choked up? I hear you get choked up on it.
I'm certainly not above it. I do in a lot of movies, but I did not in this one, I don't think.
Yeah, well, you got choked up during Peanuts last week, so, you know, I'm not...
I actually did get a little choked up.
I know you said that, and I respect that about you. All right, I don't have time for your third film, but is there anything on your parting way out the door that you want them to know this weekend?
You should, well, I'll just mention the third film quickly, Trumbo, with Bryan Cranston as Dalton Trumbo, the blacklisted screenwriter. Also terrific, also worth seeing. And probably also not going to be around forever. So.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll try to work that in next week. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
All righty. Thanks.
Here's Bill Goodykuntz, Goody at the Movies. He joins us every week. Yeah, I'm kind of torn on this one because I know I'm going to see a lot of college football tomorrow. I have to be water polo dad tonight for a bit. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, by the way. It's like 40 degrees now at 7 p.m. and I'm going to sit at a pool and... For my 11, why not choose a sport where you're indoors? Okay, please go back to basketball or volleyball or something. But no, my Friday night's going to be set at a pool, and then he's going to get out of the pool and he's going to be freezing. So I don't think tonight I'm going to make it. But tomorrow, gosh, there's so many good college football games tomorrow, and the Cardinal game is not till Sunday night. I know my fantasy team will do fine. I don't know, guys, I'm thinking Spotlight for me, but Brooklyn sounds too much like a chick flick. I just, you know, I don't need her crying on me. You know, I don't. We're going to go to Vegas next. Jimmy Vaccaro with us. Wisest of the wise guys, South Point Resort Casino. That's next. All the NFL games. 40 years this guy's been doing the odds in Vegas. None better than Jimmy Vaccaro. He's next. Time now to go to Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro joins us, the wisest of the wisest, South Point Resort and Casino in Vegas. That is the place. We're coming into the holiday season. If you're looking to go to Vegas, you got to stay at South Point. Jimmy joins us every week. All right, so on the college end of things, man, where do we start here? Let's go Oklahoma-Baylor first and foremost. So there's a ton of big games this weekend.
Well, first of all, my friend, it's a big weekend for bookmakers. Ronda Rousey, an 18-1 favorite over home, and 50 college basketball games, and Arizona's a 23-point favorite over Pacific. And yes, there are a lot of great college football, and the Baylor game, obviously, it's a very, very big game. You have Baylor, a small favorite over Oklahoma, and can Stoops win the big game? We'll find out. Baylor 3 really hasn't moved off the money.
Is Clemson bought in? Is everybody in Vegas buying in on Clemson at number one in the country, Jimmy?
No, matter of fact, the people whom I respect dearly, we had them about fourth on the list. They would be an underdog both against Ohio State and Alabama if they played on a neutral field. And we don't have Notre Dame as high as the pollsters do either. We have Notre Dame around 8 or 9, which means they would be a substantial underdog to all three teams in front of them. Matter of fact, they wouldn't even be a favor over Baylor, nor would they be a favor over Oklahoma. But wow, we have a long way to go to until this thing unwinds.
Alabama, Mississippi State, is this letdown week for the Crimson Tide after the Tiger win?
Well, it sure could be. You know, out of the top four, the other three are at almost walkovers, 3 and 4 touchdown favorites. But this is the only true test of the Alabama squad after a huge win against LSU. Alabama goes to Starkville, not an easy place to go to. Alabama opened a 7-point favorite, but we've had some early money in Alabama. We're up to 7.5, and I see some 8s around also. But this won't be easy for Alabama, but we'll see what happens.
Oregon, Stanford, at the start of the year, looked like an enormous game. Stanford, I think, is sitting there in a good position because they still have Notre Dame on the schedule, so a big national game in a couple of weeks. Oregon, Stanford, Jimmy.
Big game. Oregon getting 10 points. That's almost unheard of. You talked about it, you know, 4 weeks ago, but there has been some money on the Ducks, and it's down to 9.5, but Stanford has been playing lights out the last month, but it looks like a big number, and some of these so-called smarts have taken Oregon plus the 10. So I would suggest it'll go down a little bit lower only because of the spread offense and only because it's probably the make-or-break game for Oregon this year.
Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Resort and Casino, that is the place to stay when you go to Vegas. Make your plans around the state of Arizona, wherever you're taking us in. He joins us from Vegas. Okay, on the pro end of things, the Cardinals game at Seattle, we're talking about 46 degrees and 90% chance of rain. Two teams coming off of a bye. I think the Cardinals are still a team that we really don't know if they're good or not. What's the view in Vegas?
This is the marquee game of the weekend, my friend. The other games are obviously, they all have something that means something. Buffalo beating the Jets last night was a big week. Big win for Buffalo, but if you look down the list, and the game that's drawing all the attention is the Arizona Cardinals and Seattle. We opened Seattle a 3-point favorite, nothing but Seattle money early. Total 45 hasn't budged either. I would suspect by Sunday afternoon there'll be a lot of Arizona money showing up here. So this is the test that I think Arizona has been waiting for the past 5 years. Win this one, and you got a lot of believers, my friend.
Okay, Ronda Rousey, you mentioned it earlier, and I wanted to finish on that note. The amount of money coming in on UFC, people are underestimating it. I think it's here. I think it's arrived a while ago. What about in Vegas? What about the money coming in on this?
It only draws money with the underdogs here. The guy that likes to bet $20 and $30 are not going to let 18-1. But we get tons of tickets against her. How about this one here? Just to go the first full round, you got to lay 3-1. So it draws attention. It's a good filler. But when you have someone an 18-1 favorite, it's always small money on the underdog. Very, very little rich jumpers on the big favorites. But I enjoy it. It does draw people, and there's something more to do on a Saturday afternoon in Las Vegas.
No question about it. Thanks, Jimmy, as always.
All right, buddy.
Take care of Jimmy Vaccaro with us for a couple of minutes from Vegas. Always good to catch up with Jimmy. Wow, 3-1 just to go to the first round. So, like, when you go to these bars and they charge for pay-per-view to get in and see this fight, it's almost like the Tyson days, except it's a different sport. And, you know, the growth of it, I was out at Marley's last night, and the one down in Chandler, and the amount of business that they're doing around these fights it's terrific. It's terrific for the sport. And it used to be viewed as, a woman in the ring, how disgusting, how despicable. No, I wouldn't want to mess with her. Let's just put it that way. And that'll be tomorrow night as well. All right. I'm hopeful that when we get back together on Monday, that I'm able to talk about an interesting game. That's all I want with the Cardinals game. I just want it to be interesting and entertaining. I don't want it to be one that gets away from them. I don't know if they've arrived at this point. And people say, well, they went up there a couple of years ago. Please stop with that. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. And if the weather plays havoc, then let it play real havoc. I want wind and I want rain. I want Noah's Ark conditions. All right. That's what I want. I want to just let it go. If it's just going to spritz, who cares? But it's going to be nasty. Let it be nasty. I was hoping it'd be like in the 30s, you know, something where we see some breath and a little bit of flakes coming down. So we're looking forward to that. I think in terms of the ASU game, Eric and I were talking about this. He's going to the game tomorrow. I'm going to watch. Look, I don't think ASU is going to win two of their final three games. People around ASU think, oh, no, no, we've just had some bad luck. Eventually, there comes a point where you've really just hit a wall. And Washington's defense is very good. Their offense is not. But I don't think ASU's defense is very good. You want to argue with me on that? You give up four or five final drives to touchdowns. That had nothing to do with the refs against Washington State. So I don't know if ASU can stop them. U of A, Utah, have the Wildcat players just heard enough about Rich Rod and his future, and maybe he's not going to be there, that they're going to be distracted. And then NAU comes off beating the number four ranked team in the nation in the FCS, and they host Sacramento State. While it's been really disappointing for ASU and U of A, NAU's gotten it done, and even Arizona Christian, ACU's gotten it done. They're going to find out on Sunday if they're going to the playoffs. So, and we have the high school playoffs tonight. So there's plenty of football going on around the state this weekend, along with the Coyotes playing really well and the Suns trying to figure themselves out. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmatt.